We are looking forward to the last three of the fall holy days. Next one coming up is the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, we think about the very important events that are coming up. And you think about the role that the high priest had for the nation of Israel. And then now, looking forward, that when the priesthood, that we have a high priest, is now working to facilitate the worship of God throughout the entire world, right? We're looking forward to the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. We're looking forward to Jesus Christ being that high priest. He is that high priest now, and he performed a very important ceremony, a very important thing, when he went and presented himself, not with the blood of goats or lambs, but his own blood to make an atonement for sin. And he has become the high priest of the good things to come. And that's the first verse I want to read today, is in Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 11. I want to talk today about some of the good things to come. I can't talk about all of the good things to come, but I'm going to talk about some of them. Hebrews 9 and verse 11, it says here, but Christ came as. So he came. He became human. He was slain. He was resurrected, is now high priest. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Of course, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And we see this portrayed on the Day of Atonement. We read Leviticus 16. We see the role that the high priest had and the importance of it. And the special place that that high priest had, that position, that he was the only one ever allowed to go to the Holy of Holies. He was the only one, and only once per year was he allowed to go to the Holy of Holies. He had to have a sacrifice for himself, but then he also took in the sacrifice of the first goat. What are these good things to come? In this chapter here, the context, we are looking forward to a spiritual tabernacle. We're looking for the true, right? What we had on earth, what the Israelites had, were copies of the true, as we can see throughout this chapter here. They were copies, they were physical representation of what is in heaven and how they worship God in heaven. They have these items. Now, unless you've been to Israel and you've seen some of the replicas, I don't think a lot of the items you can really visualize what they are. And there's the lampstand and the Ark of the Covenant, which I've never seen. I don't know if some people... Mr. Johnson's almost old enough. But no one's seen some of these things. But there's so many good things to come. It's not just the spiritual tabernacle. It's not just the things that are true in heaven. It's the true things that will be brought down to earth. It's the true plan of salvation that comes to fruition, that comes to reality. It's something that we're looking forward to, those good things to come. What are these good things? What does the high priest do? A high priest facilitates the worship of God the Father. We worship God the Father, and Christ is there, the right hand, as the high priest. We will worship God forever, for all of eternity. What does that mean? And how do we wrap our minds around it? I Google searched, "We will worship God forever, UCG, United Church of God." You can't say UCG because the Google doesn't know what UCG is. Yeah, the United Church of God. But I found a Reddit post instead. It's interesting. He says, the first one, it says, "When I think of heaven, it doesn't sound appealing at all. From what I've heard it will be like, I've always disliked worship music, and the whole thing just sounds so boring, especially for eternity." I was like, well, that's not that great of a statement. And it goes through, and he's like, well, you know, I'd really like it if I was there to, like, to be doing everything I do today and enjoying things and taking care of the animals, right? Taking care of animals, catching up with friends. But to worship a deity for eternity does not sound appealing. To me, I think it sounds appealing. We hope for it. We long for it. We want it to be here. But they're thinking, and we can get caught up in this thinking too, they're thinking it within the confines of physical life. They're thinking of it without understanding the breadth of what will happen in the kingdom. I had dinner with David and Rhonda last night, and Rhonda asked the table, "What do you look forward to most when the kingdom is established on earth?" And I was thinking of this Reddit post here. I'm sitting here going, well, what is it that I'm excited for? And the answer, one of the answers that I could come up with was, I look forward to knowing what I don't know that I'll know. What happens when we are resurrected? We are changed. We become like who? Like God. John, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So important to think about this in this way, and it's what the world lacks in understanding. It's what sometimes we don't realize unless we're really sitting there and contemplating and meditating like David did when he looked up on the firmament and said, "Why are you mindful of me?" Right? In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." That is who we are now. "Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." Our minds cannot truly comprehend it. We think things, but what do we think things within? The confines of physical life. The confines of time ending and us resting. The confines of what we see around us, hopefully past the earth and then throughout the universe. And we try to look at pictures. We see all these things. But even still, that's the confines of physical. It has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know, as Mr. Gothel said on Thursday, that this can be believed. This is true. God cannot lie. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Christ is the high priest for those who become priests of God. And we, with him, will worship our Father forever. It has not been revealed but we will be changed. We will understand. We will know things that I don't understand that we will know. I want to know the things that I don't know that I will know. It's fascinating to me, and it's something good to come. And Christ is the high priest of those things, those good things to come. What happens next after we are resurrected? What major role does the high priest have? Let's turn to Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. And we'll start in verse 20. Leviticus 16 and verse 20. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, that is, after he has gone into the Holy of Holies, he has presented the blood of the first goat there. And so after he has had made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tabernacle of meeting and the altar, and he shall bring the live goat, Aaron, who is high priest, shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Right? We see this pictured in the future. We see this good thing to come. And who is the high priest of this good thing? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. We will see this painted as a picture for us so we can understand and see what this represents and how wonderful of a thing it is if we think about it and internalize it as this wonderful, good thing to come. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, that suitable man, having the key to a bottomless pit and a great chain on his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. What a great thing to come. Can you imagine what it would be like without the deceptiveness of Satan? Has it been revealed to us what it will be like that Satan can no longer deceive the world? I don't even know what all he has his hands into. Where is his deception? Where are his lies? What tries to pull us away? And where all is it? It's everywhere within this world. This world hates God. This world does not know him, rejects him. They have the lie and deception of religion after religion after religion, all to point us away from the truth. What a good thing to come, to not have the deceitfulness of Satan for 1,000 years. Christ is the high priest that will do this and lock Satan up into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. What a good thing to come. And it has not been revealed. I can't even comprehend what it will be like. The freedom that humans at that time will have to not have the world trying to push them away from God. What else is going on in this time? It's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's this millennium 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ with which we reign with him. We reign with him. And I saw thrones in verse 4, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. What a good thing to come. 1,000 years. Let's not focus on us for just a minute. Let's focus on something else that can't wait for the kingdom. What is that? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Start in verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. We'll talk about us for a second. One verse. Maybe two. It shall be revealed. It is not revealed yet, but it shall be. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of you, the children of God. Because of you, we'll be delivered to stewards of the earth. One of the very first commandments God gave Adam. Be stewards of the earth, to take care of it. It's the land Sabbaths that he commanded the Israelites to have every 7 years. And what did they do? Well, they obeyed dutifully, right? No. Unfortunately, no. What do we see in the world today? We see the greed of man and ambition that destroys the world, that destroys creation. It is groaning. It eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. What do we see as the good to come? We look forward to it. I know that those who are building a garden, Howard Davis is building a garden there at the Eric and Christina Pates. It's gorgeous, isn't it? So much work. And if you saw it before and you see it now, it's beautiful, isn't it? They built that amphitheater. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful property. And it's kind of them to share it with us. Verse 35, we will see a shift, a change. Verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for who? You. Shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. We know as we continue reading this chapter that this is pointing towards the millennium. This is pointing towards that time when the sons of God are revealed. Has it been revealed what this world will be like when it finally is able to rest? It has not been revealed. Not yet. But it will be. It looks to the glory of God. We worship God, all of God's creation. And Christ is that high priest of this good thing to come. Then what happens after the 1,000 years? What good thing comes? Let's turn back to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We read about this time after the 1,000 years where Christ will bring up all who lived. Those who were not there at his time, who were not changed when he returned, they shall live again and see the good that has come and the good that will be waiting for them as well. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for him. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead. Death and Hades gave up the dead. And they were judged, each one. Each one. According to their works. They're getting an opportunity to see, to understand. Has it been revealed to us what a sight that will be? Can we wrap our minds around that physically? The dead, the sea, death and Hades, giving up their dead, that has not been revealed. It is something good to come. Christ will be their high priest, just as he is our high priest. And we, with the entire world, will worship our Father in heaven. How will they worship? How will they live? What are their eyes opened up to? What do they see? They see their teachers. They see the law of God. They receive God's Spirit. And he will cause them to walk in his ways. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 25, a couple verses. As Mr. Goffel said, when one person reads it in one tone and someone else reads it in another tone, the same thing, we hear different things. I know Mr. Corbett was reading Matthew 25 for the past few weeks, because he brought it up in last week's sermon and Thursday's sermon. This time when these people are brought up and judged. What are they judged on? What they did. What are they talking? What is Christ saying to them? And what has Christ said to us? Christ has said to us, I go and prepare a place for you. What does he say when he returns? Behold, what is it? I had it. And Mr. Corbett read it. He said, beloved, right? Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who is the kingdom prepared for? You. Who is the kingdom prepared for? Anyone that chooses life. We are looking forward to a time when people who had no idea who Christ was will be told, I have prepared a place for you. And then they learn to do what? What we have learned. To serve Christ, to serve God through serving his people. And so I highly recommend either re-listening to or listening to Mr. Corbett's sermon from last week. So powerful that we are serving Jesus Christ when we serve each other. That form of worship, that term form of service, will continue throughout, and they too will be able to inherit the kingdom of God. He says here how we serve. I'll move to Romans chapter 1, since Mr. Corbett read that, Matthew 25 last week, of how we serve one another and how they will serve one another. Romans chapter 2. We see that there are many in the world that have done exactly that without even knowing that they've done it. Without even knowing that they're worshiping God or that it is a form of worship. But they are obeying God's law without even knowing the law. In verse 12 of Romans chapter 2, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. The service of Christ, the service of his people, the worship of God. Those in 4:14, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these also not having the law are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, when? In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Great white throne. What are they judged on? Their works. What did they do? We can see in Matthew 25, we didn't know. When did we do this for you? It has been revealed to us that when we do those things, we serve Jesus Christ. We serve God. They will say, oh, I was doing service to you. I didn't even know. But their minds are open. They understand. Has that been revealed? Has the mercy and love of God been revealed? Has the plan of God's salvation been revealed? Yes. It has been revealed to you. Is the truth of God going to be any different today than it is for them after the 1,000 years? No. It's the same. They will still need a sacrifice for their sins. They will still need to put sin out of their lives. They will still need to have His Holy Spirit, the guarantee of what? The kingdom that they will inherit. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. How will they worship? The same way we worship today. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphan and widows in their trouble. Matthew 25. This is what we do. This is how we serve Christ. This is how they will serve Christ. And who is their high priest? Jesus Christ. Who are their priests? Us. They will do the same things. They will continue to serve Christ through serving each other. And what else? And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. How do we worship God? How does the high priest worship God? How did Christ worship his Father by being perfect and to love the world, those who are in it, to give himself over to be slain from the foundation of the world for all who are to receive inheritance. And then he was spotless, perfect, without sin. And that is why he is the high priest. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I'm 100% correct on this. But this does not sound boring to me. It sounds very, very appealing. And I can't wait to do it for eternity. What has been revealed? God's plan for salvation. God's love and his mercy. What has not been revealed? It has not been revealed what we shall be. It has not been revealed what the world will be like without the influence of Satan. It has not been revealed how the earth will rest and be filled with joy. Creation itself filled with joy with the revealing of the sons of God. It will not be revealed. It is not revealed what it will be like for everyone on earth to be worshiping our Father in heaven for all eternity, with Jesus Christ as the high priest of all of these good things to come.